This business of finding a wife for Isaac was a very serious one. So serious that the question of where should the wife come from, where should they live, became essential to the whole deal. Isaac wasn't to go out and live somewhere else. He was to live in the land that God had promised him. And the wife couldn't be just anybody. She had to be somebody from the same stock, right, from the same family, right, don't misunderstand that, from the same tribe. Now, when I read the Old Testament, I read it through the lens of the new and through the lens to a certain extent of what God has done since. And so what I see in this is saying that for Isaac needed to have a bride who was on the same page as he was on the same page as Abraham. He was to inherit his father's blessing. He was to inherit his father's blessing. So it was essential that Isaac should find a wife who was on board with this deal, who understood and was committed to this family commitment that Abraham had engaged in, this covenant that God had engaged in. So that's the story of Isaac coming to find his wife. Let me just work now through the story a little more of Isaac and Ishmael. You know that Abraham, upon hearing from God that he would be a great nation, that through his son he would bring nations into being and that kings would come from him, set about, because he was old and his wife Sarah was old, or Sarai at the time, was old, set about doing what was appropriate and legal and commended in the community in those days. If the wife couldn't bear a son to be your heir, the wife chose a servant, and the servant bore the son to be your heir. So that's what Abram and Sarai did. They chose the woman Hagar to have a son, because Abram realized that, or figured that, if God is promising to give him an inheritance through his son, there needs to be a son for him to have an inheritance through. And so he did the socially acceptable thing in those days. Please don't see this as, oh, Abraham just went out and, you know, whoopee. This was the socially acceptable thing in terms of inheritance law in those days. Okay, he was complying. He was complying with the social niceties of his time. And so he set about making a son for this blessing of God to come through. Now, that wasn't right for God. God says, no, this is not the son that your inheritance will come through. Sarah will be the mother of nations, and through her, kings will be born. So the son had to be born of Abraham and Sarah, not Abraham alone. And so 13 years after Ishmael was born, Isaac was born. And it was so ludicrous that both Sarah and Abraham laughed, hence the name Isaac, which means laughter, or sounds like the word that means laughter. Okay, and so there's 13 years between Abram organising for himself to make sure that God's promises could be fulfilled, and God fulfilling the promises himself. So there are these two sons. Last week we spoke very briefly about Abram taking Isaac up to the mountains in the region of Morah, M-O-R-A-H, and we talked about the scapegoat, taking the sins away. And I don't know that I said last week, but I have mentioned before that there are some who think that hill could well be the same hill that Jesus walked up with his cross on his shoulder. So like Jesus, Isaac walked up that hill with the wood for his own death on his shoulders. We think, some people think. This is not spelled out in the Bible, so it's conjecture. So if it sounds too weird, leave it aside. Trust what's clearly written in the scriptures, okay? But this is a thought, that it could be the same hill, and that there could be this link between Abraham taking his only true son up this hill to be a sacrifice, and Jesus, the only begotten Son of the Father, taking the means of his death up the hill his own sacrifice. Just a thought. But it's a thought that pictures this link between God and us. He's not prepared to ask us to do things that he won't do himself. He won't ask us to make sacrifices if he isn't prepared to make sacrifices himself. He dared to sacrifice his only son. And it was, as it was through Jesus that the new covenant came about, it was through Isaac that Abraham's covenant was to come to fulfillment. Okay? So this Isaac, back to the story now of Isaac, the wife for Isaac. He was waiting beside the spring. Rebecca was a relation, as we said. And she takes the servant back to her house. And her father offers him hospitality. And until he enters that house, he's standing out there wondering, what should I do? What should I do? And Rebecca came out to him and said something that you should know what it is that Rebecca said to him. You've seen it this morning, most of you, if you're observant. Have you noticed our display screen in the window this morning? You don't look at it. Oh, well, it was a nice try. You came in the wrong door. True. Have a look outside later. What are you waiting out here for? I've got the house ready and I've prepared room for the camels as well. So that's what's written on our screen outside. What are you waiting out here for? I've got the house ready and I've made room for the camels as well. So the servant accepts their hospitality and he goes inside, but he won't accept anything for his own needs until he's discharged his duty. Right? He doesn't look after himself until he has done his master's duty. And the master's duty is to tell them the story of why he has come. That he has come to find a wife for his master's son. And that he wanted Rebecca to be that woman because of this arrangement that he understood with God about her watering the camels as well. Now Laban, I want you to remember that name, Laban was Rebecca's father. It was Rebecca's brother. Laban was Rebecca's brother and head of the household. Okay, Laban was Rebecca's brother and head of the household. Before they even asked Rebecca, they said, well, we'd like you to wait here another 10 days so we can sort of work out the politics of all this, you know. And the servant said, don't detain me. I've made a vow. I've made a promise. I'm on a mission. Don't hold me up from doing my duty. Okay? And so they asked Rebecca, and she said, yeah, I'll marry this bloke, he sounds all right. So Rebecca went back straight away with this servant, and she married Isaac. Okay. What of Ishmael? Ishmael. After a while, going way back, Sarah got a bit fed up with seeing Hagar and Ishmael around the place when she still had no child. She got thoroughly fed up, in fact, and I can imagine that Hagar was being a bit swaggery around Sarah. Oh, I've had this son and you haven't. And so Sarah actually sent Hagar and Ishmael away. Get rid of that slave woman and her son, for that woman's son will never share the inheritance with my son Isaac, she said. Get rid of the slave woman and her son, for that woman's son will never share the inheritance with my son Isaac. And that's true. And that's the point of our talk this morning. But because Ishmael is Abraham's son, God has also made a promise to Abraham about Ishmael. He has made the covenant with Abraham about Isaac and what's to happen right through all the decades to come, all the generations to come. But because Ishmael is also Abraham's son, God has chosen to make a promise about him too. God provided water and kept Ishmael and Hagar alive in the desert, right? And God was with the boy as he grew up. Ishmael married a woman from Egypt. We know nothing about her, except that she's a woman from Egypt. She's not part of the same tribe. She doesn't understand the covenant, the promises, the deal, the relationship with God. She was just a woman from Egypt. Now, Ishmael, as I said, was 13 years older than Isaac. God blessed Ishmael. And how do we know in the language of the Old Testament that God truly blessed Ishmael, because Ishmael had 12 sons, as did Isaac. Okay? Isaac and Ishmael each had 12 sons. Each became a great nation. So after Abraham, as Abraham's time is coming to a close, there is this division where Isaac is here and Ishmael is there. And they each know something of God's blessing. They each have some sort of success through the world. But there's a difference. Ishmael was born as a result of human reasoning. Ishmael was born as a result of human organisation. Ishmael was born as a result of the way the society was structured at the time. Abraham was sensitive to the way that the society around him saw things. In today's world, Abraham may have drawn together, a support group, an advisory board perhaps, made up of significant people from the community around, and put to them this proposal. God's made a promise to me. What's the best way of me fulfilling this promise? And the advisory board may well have reminded Abraham about the normal method in society of organising inheritance. So Ishmael represents that part of human dealings where we look for human wisdom, where we look for a way that makes sense to us all to carry out the things that God has put before us. And this is Ishmael. And we have the thought within the church these days that God is sovereign, God is completely in charge of his world, so that in a sense it doesn't matter much what we do because God can use it. Okay? In a sense, if we wanted to choose between one area of mission and another, we just go the way the money makes sense. Because God's going to use that because he will bless anything that's done in his name. And there's that sense of thinking. But I want to suggest that that sense of thinking belongs over here with Ishmael. Where what we want to do is see the goal that God has given us and reach the goal by ways that make sense to us. Ways that make sense to our community. So that we can draw on the most support that we can from the community that we live in. And as I say, Ishmael could well represent this sense of drawing together wisdom, human wisdom from the community around us, and even to the extent of something like an advisory board. But Isaac is the son of promise. Isaac is the son who God brought to be in his own time, 13 years later. 13 years from when Abraham took steps to make sure that he had an inheritance to when God provided the answer to his own covenant. Patience, trust, faithfulness in God for 13 years until the son of the promise was born. And God continues that covenant with Abraham through Isaac, through the son that God chose. Through the son that God foretold would come not just through Abraham, but through Abraham and Sarah. Through the son who God chose as part of the covenant to say, this is the son who will carry this covenant through. So the covenant is counted and reckoned through Isaac. So the things that God approves of, the things that God has in mind, are achieved through his purposes, through the things that he has put before us, not through the things that we have chosen through human wisdom and the conventions of society. Okay, is that putting too much of a stretch on it? I don't think it is. Because this sense of having Abraham for our father was so important to the religious leaders of Jesus' day that there was this altercation when John the Baptist was in the river baptizing people. In Matthew, we read this in Matthew 3. John the Baptist turned to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and he probably would have got a very stern email if he'd have sent this out these days. Probably would have got a big rap over the knuckles. But he said to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, "You brood of vipers." hardly polite talk, is it? You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee? Don't rely on Abraham as your father, because that was their pride. We have Abraham as our father. We are the chosen ones. We are the people of God. Don't rely on Abraham as your father, because out of these stones on the ground, said John the Baptist, God can make sons for Abraham. John the Baptist is reminding us that what matters is not a human lineage, not a human genealogy, but where God has placed the covenant. It's the covenant with God, and it's latching onto that covenant with God that puts us in the right place, not looking back to see who our father is. Because if having Abraham as our father is a means of guarantee that we are in God's will, then the entire Arab nations, as they are descended from Ishmael, could be seen to be entirely within God's will. But they are not. They are descended from this human organisation, from this way of seeing a goal and reaching it the best way we know how. Isaac is the picture for us of the covenant that relies on God, not just to make the promise and set the goal, but to provide the means to get there, to provide the living the means to get there. If I don't run too late, remind me to tell you something again at the end. And similarly, another symbol of what's going on here. What's this blessing that God gave to Ishmael and to Isaac? Well, if Ishmael was the son of human organisation, why does he need a blessing? Well, it's a blessing because the reason he came to be was that Abraham wanted to be faithful. Now, it was a short-sighted thing, but this was Abraham's heart. So God is blessing Abraham's heart. So there can be blessing, right? There can be blessing even outside the main path of the covenant, right? So we can be outside the main path of God's covenant and experience his blessing. And if we're not careful, we can say, well, God's blessed me, I must be right. No, God's blessed us because he loves us. And sometimes his blessing is designed to draw us back to that main path of the covenant, not to tell us that we're all right to be off it. You understand? Just because things might go well for us doesn't mean this is the serious purpose of God. It could be that God's being generous to us in spite of ourselves to call us back, to call us back to the covenant that we make. So what is it about this blessing? We hear in Matthew 5, 44 to 46 that the rain and the sun fall on the just and the unjust, fall on the righteous and the unrighteous alike. Let's just have a glance at the context there. Okay, this is Jesus redefining the old covenant, the old Moses covenant. You've heard it said this, but I say that. You've heard it said this, but I say that. And in everything Jesus does, he brings it back to the heart. You've heard it say, don't kill. I tell you, don't even be angry. Right? So when Jesus is redefining the Moses covenant, he's not letting people off lightly. He's saying it's that serious. You've heard that they were told, love your enemy and hate your enemy. Sorry, love your neighbour and hate your enemy. But what I tell you is this, love your enemies and pray for your persecutors. Only so can you be children of your heavenly Father, who causes the sun to rise on good and bad alike and sends the rain on the innocent and the wicked. If you love only those who love you, what reward can you expect? Even the tax collectors do as much as that. If you greet only your brothers, what is there extraordinary about that? Even the heathen do as much. There must be no limit to your goodness, as your heavenly Father's goodness knows no bounds. So no matter where we are, we can feel and sense and know God's blessing. And this business about God's blessing is the way of knowing whether we're in the right path is nonsense. Let me say that again. It's nonsense. So when things go well, we must not consider that this is God approving of our behaviour. Okay? I've been saying since I walked into this place and the finances turned around and things have been going well for us in the community, that we must never consider this as God's reward, yes? We must instead consider it as God's provision. Okay, God provides for us and enables us to do his will. The good things that come our way are not there as a reward for how we have been. They are not there as a guarantee that we are in the central path of his covenant. They are there to prepare a way for us to be in the central part of his will. They are there to equip us to do the things that he calls us to do. The blessing of God is not a guarantee that we are in the right. Okay? We experience the blessing of God not because of us, but because he is good. Yes? That is a huge turnaround in our heads. And I've been dropping it in and dropping it in and dropping it in for 2.5 years. And I'm going to keep dropping it in and dropping it in and dropping it in, not just here, but anywhere where people are going to hear my voice. We cannot count on something that we perceive as God's blessing, as approval, or as God's guarantee that we are in the right place. It's exactly the wrong way around. God's blessing comes to us because he is good and he wants us to be able to get onto the central part of his will. And he is providing us with what we need to do that. Okay. So the rain and the sun come on the righteous and the unrighteous alike. So what is the test of whether we are in God's will? Do good. Be like God. If our hearts are generous as God is generous, if we love our enemies as well as our neighbours, if we do good to those who persecute us as well as to those who bless us, then we show the character of God and we show that we are true sons and daughters of the inheritance of Abraham. Right? It is not God's blessing that shows that we are in his path. It is our character. It is whether we show the character of God in our living. In the wrong door, true. Have a look outside later. What are you waiting out here for? I've got the house ready and I've prepared room for the camels as well. So that's what's written on our screen outside. To show goodness and mercy and love to those who are against us as well as to those who are with us. To those who feel badly about the Salvation Army as well as to those who feel well about the Salvation Army. To those who abuse us personally or as a Christian church, or to those who come to be on our side and give their support. We must show the same love, the same goodness, the same generosity to all those people, because they don't deserve our love any more than we deserve God's. But we must give it. We must give it, because that's what shows us that we are in the will of God, is our changed character. Yep. We are truly sons of Isaac when we hear God keeping his promise, when even though it seems foolish and we want to laugh, we hold tight to that covenant that God is calling us to. We don't try our hardest to achieve what God's purpose is. We work our most faithfully to what God has revealed to us. We don't go with the best human wisdom. We rely on the voice of the Holy Spirit to guide us. And we don't pay too much attention to advisory boards in the things of redemption and salvation. Okay, an advisory board can tell us how to choose a good building, but they can't tell us how to go about the things of salvation and redemption. Okay? Advisory board can guide us in fulfilling government policy if that's the way we want to get involved. That's fine. But they can't teach us about salvation and redemption. That's God's business, and that's the Holy Spirit speaking in us. So let's be Isaacs. We fulfill God's promise by confirming that he makes the covenant, that he keeps the covenant, and our job is simply to trust him to keep his covenant for us and through us, and let our character show the change. And our changed character, the fruit of the Spirit, is what shows that we are in the will of God. Nothing external, not how other people feel about us, not something that we might perceive as a blessing. I got that parking spot, I must be meant to have that meeting today. No, it's our character that shows us whether we are truly in the will of God. Is that okay? Let's be Isaac, let's not be Ishmael. Let's be truly in the will of God and trusting him, rather than being partly in the will of God and trusting our own wisdom and our own resources. Yeah? Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this picture in Isaac and Ishmael of what you want for us. And the covenant that you make and you call us to is now in Jesus. And we see that in Jesus you offer the covenant to us. You provide the sacrifice yourself. And out of the result of that, you give us all that we need to live a life that honours you. You give us your Holy Spirit. You give us your word. You give us each other. You give us yourself. And we ask that you will help us to see where our strength and our help and our guidance truly comes from, and stand firm with Isaac and not let our affections wander to produce Ishmaels, but stand firm with Isaac to make all our relationships ones that will honour you and draw people close to you, for Jesus' sake. Amen. To show goodness and mercy and love to those who are against us, as well as to those who are with us, to those who feel badly.